Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
We're going to be looking at our series on DNA, who we are in Christ, what that means. And I'd like to start by just looking at a story of my life. This is something that is quite personal to me, something that the Lord has done in my life, and sometimes that's just the best place to share from, is your personal experiences of what God has done. Your testimony is something that is powerful, and I encourage you guys to use that. And I'm going to share a part of my testimony with you guys tonight. So it starts when I was in school, around 17 years old, grade 11, for the toppies here tonight, that's standard 9, just before matric. All right. So when I was in school, I was quite popular. I was good at a lot of things. I was the captain of a couple of sports teams, like first team hockey, first team soccer, second team cricket. I was the lead in a musical, so I was good in singing and good in drama. And there came a time where my father was transferred to Durban, and we had to move. And when that happened, they even told my mom, they asked her, because she was working at the school, and they asked her if I could stay on because they wanted me to be head boy. So I had everything going for me at that school. And when they asked me, or when they gave me the news that we were being transferred and that we were going to be moving and that they couldn't afford for me to now stay in boarding, I must say I was broken. Everything that I'd worked for, everything that I had put my effort into was now falling away. And here I was, Mr. Popularity. I had lots of friends. I was, as I said, the captain of many sports teams. And suddenly I went to Durban, and I was a nobody. I had no chance of being in any kind of leadership position, obviously moving in the middle of grade 11. I didn't know anyone, so how could I lead them? I went to an all-boys school. I was going from a co-ed school to all-boys school, where I had three times the number of guys competing for the same position. So I went from being a pretty good sportsman to not even making the first team, let alone being captain. I was now playing on AstroTurf, which was a hell of a lot faster than what I was used to. And I went from being this good sportsman to just being an average sportsman. I went from being the it guy to being an absolute nobody. My identity was in being a good sportsman, was being good at drama, good at singing. My identity was in what my teachers and what my friends and what my peers thought of me. And when I left all of them and now had surrounded myself with people that knew absolutely nothing about me, suddenly everything that I'd worked towards was gone. Everything that I'd placed my identity in was gone. And I was lonely and I struggled for a long time. My hard work and recognition was in man, was in the people around me. My identity was in man and what man thought of me. Personal identity is something that we all have. It's something that's different in all of us. But how do we understand our identity? Well, we look at things like how we were raised. We look at our gender, male, female, our age. We look at our race, black, white, Indian, colored, Asian. We look at our talents, playing guitar or being a good sportsman or being a good lawyer or teacher. We look at the things that we're good at. our relationship status, single, married, divorced, engaged. Those are the things that define us, right? For me, in school, my identity was centered around being a good sportsman, having a lot of friends, being the center of attention, being popular, and when all of these things fell away, I had nothing. If we turn our attention to Jesus, we see that he understood his identity from a very young age. If we remember the story of Joseph and Mary losing their child, they eventually find Jesus in the temple, in the synagogue. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, "Don't you know that I will be in my Father's house?" So from a young age, he understood his sonship to God, even when others didn't. And part of Jesus' ministry when he starts at 30 is to change people's misconceptions about their beliefs and how things work. You see, in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God works completely differently to the way that the world works. If we look at one of Jesus' most famous sermons, I'm sure you know it, the Sermon on the Mount. You'll find it in Matthew 5. He proves that the kingdom works in an opposite way to the way that the world works. In the world, we are taught that if you are the loudest, the boldest, the best looking, the strongest, we'll be noticed. Jesus teaches us that those who are humble will inherit the kingdom of God. They will inherit the earth. So how many of you enjoy being made fun of? No one. Okay, that's not surprising. Of course not. It's humiliating. I don't see it being something that is rewarding to us, right? But Jesus teaches us that anyone who is persecuted or made fun of in his name will receive a great reward. These are complete opposites to the way that the world works. So, if we are to look at our identity, surely that too will be completely opposite to the way the world sees identity. And so what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to look at Saul's conversion to demonstrate how our kingdom identity is shaped. And by doing this, we'll look at the word, spelling it out, the word identity, to note the process. But because kingdom identity works in opposites, we're going to be doing something opposite with the word identity, and we're going to be spelling it backwards. Is that cool? Okay. The other thing that we'll see through this process is some of the things that God calls us in his word. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, as a believer, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So if we are to look at the old, if our old self passes away and we are to look at the new, where do we find that newness? We find it in the word. If you don't know who you are and what your identity is, look to the word of God. That's where you're going to find out. That's where it's going to tell you who you are and who we are. So I'm going to start by looking at Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start from verse 1. "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way," capital W, that's Jesus, "men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that as we look to your word, that you will reveal yourself to us in a new and fresh way. I pray, Lord, that as we look to the things that you are have called us in your word, Lord, that it will sink in deep into our hearts, Lord, that we will understand who you are calling us to be, not who the world calls us to be. Lord, we are a new creation in you. You have made us new, Lord. The old has passed away, and we are new creations. And I pray that as we look at these things, Lord, speak to us in a new and fresh way. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So guys, here we see that Saul, one of the biggest persecutors of Christians at that time, he was the worst of the worst. But he has an encounter with Jesus. And when he realizes the great power that Jesus, the great power of Jesus, what does he do? He yields. He falls flat on the ground. So the first letter of our backward identity, our kingdom identity, is Y. That's the first letter, and that stands for yield. Saul yields himself to Jesus and obeys him as he has a personal encounter with Jesus. Because of our relationship with Christ, we need to surrender our lives to Christ, yielding to his commands if we are to realize our identity in him. He is wanting to reveal himself to us. The question is, are we willing to yield to his authority? For 3 days, Saul is without sight. He doesn't eat and he doesn't drink. I think this is because Jesus is showing Saul who he really is, the Messiah. I remember the story of the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. The disciples, after all of this has gone down, the disciples are perplexed because they come back and they ask Jesus, "Do you want some food?" And Jesus says, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." You see, I believe here that Saul is experiencing a similar kind of thing. Saul's revelation of Jesus sustains him to the point where he doesn't need to eat for 3 days. He doesn't need to drink for 3 days. Why? Because of his utter revelation of Jesus Christ. That is what sustains him. This is the next part of our word identity. This is the T, which stands for to know Christ. Once yielded to Christ, our hearts are open to allow him to enter in and minister to us and reveal himself in a new and fresh way. John 1 verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Guys, we are children of the Most High, children of the Creator of the universe, the one who breathes life into everything that you see around you. You are a child of God. That's massive. Isaiah 43 verse 1. "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you.'" Is this not what you shared earlier? I thought so. "I have called you by name. You are mine." Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." This is who we are. This is what our identity is. God's masterpiece. The dictionary describes masterpiece as a person's greatest work of art. You and I are God's greatest work of art. You are his greatest creation. This just shows us how important we are to him. Sometimes we look at the sunset. I remember, John, you shared it this morning. And in Psalms, it says how we should look at it and gaze upon his awe and majesty. But that sunset, that beautiful creation, is nothing in the eyes of God compared to you and I, his greatest, greatest work of art. When I had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and I put my faith in him many years after that, I realized that all of those things that I put my identity in were meaningless. I believe that the Lord was putting me through that for a reason. He was really, you can ask Chase, she was with me in school. I was quite an arrogant guy. I believe that the Lord was humbling me. Who knows what would have happened had I carried on going from place to place being, I'm the it guy. I needed to be humbled. And I'm grateful that the Lord put me through that. I didn't like it at the time. Sometimes we need to go through the storm in order for him to reveal himself in new ways. Let's pick up again from Acts chapter 9, and we'll carry on from verse 10. It says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell off his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. The next letter in our backward kingdom identity is I. And that stands for infilling of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to his ways and to his view of us. This is also vital in understanding our identity. One of the things that Jesus calls us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds the church in Corinth about this when he says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? The dictionary defines temple as a building devoted to worship. Your body, which encompasses everything that you do, is a building created specifically for the worship of God. How you worship is a demonstration of who your identity is in. Note that I didn't say it is a demonstration of what your identity is in. You see, because if you place your identity in something, you are placing your identity in things created, not in the Creator. So I'm going to say it again. How you worship is a demonstration of who your identity is in. The next letter in our kingdom identity is T, and that stands for total obedience. Water baptism is simply an act of obedience. Jesus did it, And here we see Saul being baptized immediately after being filled with the Holy Spirit. God says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Obedience is vital to God. And if we find ourselves in Christ, we find ourselves wanting to do what he did, just like Jesus was baptized. We find ourselves wanting to listen and obey as the Holy Spirit prompts us and guides us. When we feel the Holy Spirit prompting us to do something and we disobey, this could be for a number of reasons. But may I be bold in saying that this is quite often due to us not wanting to embarrass ourselves or not wanting to be different from our friends and family, not going against the grain. In my opinion, this is because our identity is not in Christ, but actually in what people think of us. If we surrender ourselves to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do, it shows that our identity is in him. Obedience is proof of our identity being in Christ. Let's continue reading from the end of verse 19. For some days, he was with his disciples at Damascus. He was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. The E stands for evangelism. Having a conviction and an understanding of Christ changes the way that we see things. It changes the way that we see people, and it changes the way that we do things. Evangelism is making Christ known. Jesus refers to us in John as a conduit for him to work through. He says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll tell you guys, the Lord wants to use us for his purposes. But this can only be done if we remain in him. If our identity is steadfast in who he has made us to be. If we look at how God used men to bring about the message of Christ to others, instead of, for example, using angels, we can start to understand how important we are to God to bring salvation to the world. I'll give you an example. If we look at the previous chapter, just before chapter 9, in Acts chapter 8, it speaks about the Philip and his encounter with the Ethiopian. God could have come to shown himself, revealed himself to the Ethiopian. He could have sent an angel to the Ethiopian. But what did he do? He sent the angel to Philip, and who then was commissioned to go to the Ethiopian. In the case of Saul, we see in Acts chapter 5, Stephen standing before the council about on death row, and he is testifying to the council about Jesus Christ, and he will not back down. Saul was at that meeting. Saul stood next to Stephen as he was stoned. I believe that as he witnessed with that council and shared about Jesus Christ, in the fact that he would not denounce Christ, it planted a seed in Saul, so that a few weeks later, I don't know how long it was, but about further down the road, when he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus came to him, the seed was sown. And that prepared his heart, prepared a way for Jesus to enter into his life. God wants to use us. Our identity needs to remain solid in his in his foundation. If our identity is in Christ and we realize the beauty of this great salvation, our heart will be to see others fully devoted to Christ. Our heart will be that of our Father God, who so loved the world that he gave everything he had to see mankind restored to the way that he originally intended it to be. If we see others in a pit of despair because they're being pulled in every direction, because they don't understand their identity, because in the world it changes every second of every day. If we see that, we need to show them that they can have a life where they are rooted in Christ, where they won't be pulled in every direction because their roots are solid. Their roots have a firm foundation in the rock. We've got the answer. We have got Jesus. We have got the answer. We have got the answer to the world's identity crisis. If we move a bit further down to Acts chapter 13, we're reading from verse 1. It says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. And one day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. The second last letter is D. Destiny. Nice try. For Saul, his obedience to the call of God led him to be called to apostleship, where he would go into other churches and cities and spread the word of God and encourage those local churches in the work that they were doing. By walking in our identity, God releases us to do what he has called us to do. For Paul, this was apostleship. For us, it could be preaching, teaching. It could be caring. It could be interceding. Seek the Lord. He will tell you, and he will reveal to you what he has called you to. The last letter is I. And that stands for influence. In the case of Saul, who was also called Paul, we now know that he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. His letters to the churches in Corinth, Philippi, Galatia, Ephesus, and his letters to his friends like Timothy and Titus and others are so encouraging and reveal so much of the heart of God that they weren't only encouraging to the guys back then, to the churches back then, but they even continue to encourage us today. Once we are walking in our identity, our God-given kingdom identity, filled with the Spirit and fulfilling the call that God has and the destiny that God has on our lives, with the Holy Spirit speaking clearly through us, you and I are able to influence people and encourage people in ways that may have long-lasting results. If I look back at my life, I honestly thank God for the storm that I had to endure, as I believe it positioned me well for the road that he wanted me to walk. I don't think I'm as arrogant as I was back then. What do you think? Not at all. The process that God has walked me through has been absolutely incredible. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he's placed me in a position where I'm now able to spread the word of God. I can't believe how he's taken me from that wilderness to a place of influence. Standing before you and saying that I have influence is not arrogance. It's understanding what God has called me to and the position that he's put me in. One of my favorite songs is from a band called Need to Breathe. And the lyrics to the first verse go like this. It says, "Cathedrals have tried in vain to show the image of your face. But we are, by your design, the image, the signature of divine." Friends, I can assure you that Jesus came and he died for us. He took our place so that we could be restored to God. Restored to God in a way that he originally intended for us to be in. And that is in a deep relationship with him. In Genesis, it says that we were created in his image. Created to be like him in every way. And by understanding your kingdom identity, that you are no longer a slave to sin, but a child of God, we can walk in the fullness of what God intended for us. If you look at your signature, mine's quite big. I don't leave much space for Trace when we have to sign on the same line. But if you look at your signature and what it does for you, it represents who you are. It's as if you are standing in the room when people see your signature. It gives you access to things you once could not have access to. That's what we are with God. We are his signature, his representatives on earth. And just as we guard the pen in a way that marks a scribble which represents who we are on a paper, so God guards us with his Holy Spirit to lead us in ways that ensure that we are fruitful in fulfilling his call on our lives. It ensures that we fulfill his task.